This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As we progress to the final four segments of the Paracast, first of all, Chris O'Brien is on his way to the Utah Fest, an event we'll hear about probably in the next couple of weeks. We want to remind you that we have another radio show. It's called After the Paracast. To hear that show, you've got to subscribe to the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. When you go there, we give you the sign-up instructions. It's $1.49 a week, half the price of a Starbucks coffee. And you also get the commercial-free version of this show. You like that deal, huh, guys? Definitely. No, it's so unfortunate as we progress and look at the culture that Roswell is the linchpin UFO case of the ages that started in such a strange way that it happened, and then they said it's only a balloon, and then 30 years later people wake up as if they were asleep, and suddenly Roswell was a thing because somebody talked to Stanton Friedman at some kind of meeting, and they followed up, and William Moore is involved. And they get Charles Berlitz, who never met a fake story he couldn't promote. I knew Charles Berlitz, and he had this twinkle in his eye. And he said to me, I'm as honest as the day is long. And you know, when someone says that to you, what he's really telling you. Who wants to take it from here?
I can say a couple of things about Roswell because it got all the press, but I've got a friend, Ivan DeFoy, and he's going back and examining these old newspaper stories. And they're fascinating, especially, you know, many of these you've read bits about it in UFO history, but a couple of things that in this surrounding Roswell era, they were finding balloons all over the place, or the Rawan targets. And people were saying, hey, this is a flying saucer. Well, they didn't make national headlines, but they were in the papers. And that wasn't the only time there were false alarms. A few years later, they found these disc-shaped aircraft in a barn. And it turned out a guy had been you know, was a failed aircraft experiment in the 30s. But nevertheless, they said secret of the flying saucers found. But since that was definitely traced to an inventor, it wasn't something that a ufologist could unearth and say that, you know, later that, hey, this was the alien cover-up. So it almost reminds me of the old Dewey Defeats Truman headline. It was a premature story, and that's about it to me. The thing I will just toss this to MJ, one of the core beliefs in the study of UFOs was Donald Kehoe didn't establish this, but he popularized it, and that was the notion of a cover-up. And the belief in a cover-up is as central as anything about aliens. And, you know, even some people who don't follow UFOs believe that the government is capable of some massive conspiracy cover-up. And I think a lot of cases, well, it becomes, if there's no evidence, that proves the cover-up is real.
Right.
No, proves it because they're basically covering it up so we can't see it. So since we can't see the evidence, it's covered up. It's like a circular theory.
Yeah. This is the ultimate problem with conspiracy theories, right? Is, again, it doesn't matter what the truth is, right? It doesn't actually matter what the reality of the situation is. It's all that baggage you bring to the table. If you sort of believe in the conspiracy, it's going to continue to spin sort of over and over and over again. And just, in, you know, it's just going to take different shape. The UFO community and the UFO subculture and sort of UFO discourse in general, conspiracy is a huge component of it. It would be very interesting to think about what UFO discourse, what UFO debate would look like if everyone trusted their government, right? Like, can you imagine what the UFO world would sort of talk about if there was no ideology of conspiracy? It would be a totally different conversation. We wouldn't be talking about Roswell. Roswell would be a non-issue, right? Because again, Roswell hinges upon the conspiracy. You get rid of that, there's nothing. And this is sort of a lot of UFO cases, and this is a lot of UFO speculation, a lot of UFO theory. A lot of it hinges upon the conspiracy with the government or some shadow government or whatever. I can't even imagine what the UFO sort of community would do if for some reason, you know, magically everyone trusted the government. You know, what would happen to UFO discourse? Where would it go? What would it look like? I don't know. It's an interesting thing to think about.
Well, part of the problem there is this entire scenario was painted early on when the field was more or less established in the days of Major Donald Kehoe. He was going around talking about a silence group that people within the government were hiding the secret of the UFOs. And I thought charitably that maybe what happened here is when the UFOs were first being seen, regardless of the truth, they didn't know what they were. And you couldn't have the government saying, you know what, we don't know what those things are, but they don't appear to represent a threat, and leave it at that. They couldn't say that. So you have then the conspiracy goes out of Kehoe. So many people read those books. I read those books. A lot of people did. And those who were influenced simply spread the story. It's kind of like with Roswell. Once the first Roswell book came out, people started looking into it, and then you had a whole bunch of people, and you built a whole cottage industry of Roswell. You have a whole cottage industry of disclosure, and even though it's way, way beyond what Kehoe intended, this is what the field has become, and it doesn't matter whether the government knows anything or not. If there are UFOs, it represents some kind of real phenomenon. It doesn't matter what they know. None of that matters. All we want to know is what's happening. And once we find that out, maybe we could look into the other things. The other problem is early on, this is another thing we've talked about on the PowerCast lately, early on it does appear the government was engaged in some experiments that were not too nice. And certainly that's something that Nick Redfern points to in his two right. books on Roswell, Body Snatchers in the Desert and the more right. recent that's book. And that's, you know, very unfortunate. It doesn't mean there's a UFO connection. It may also be the government takes advantage of the culture and uses UFOs as an excuse to hide something else. I wonder also in terms of abductions, and this is another one where they shoot me down, and that is, what about Betty and Barney Hill? They live near a military base in New Hampshire, and probably could be candidates for some kind of experiment because the beings and the structure and the things that happen were in many ways different for their abduction than others. I mean, they didn't get in touch with gray aliens. They looked kind of human, didn't they?
And their story emerged under hypnosis, so there's that factor to think about. So, you know, how much of the experience was, part dream, you know, and that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, you know, their interpretation. If you have unpleasant memories, are you remembering the event, or is it your emotional interpretation?
Right, yeah, exactly, right, and that's kind of the... To go back to that question, right, you know, do they objectively, these beings, whatever they were, do they objectively look like that? Or, you know, are Betty and Barney Hill interpreting them to look like that because of, you know, some other reason, whether it's emotional or whether it's sort of previous experiences or whether it's just, you know, maybe they interacted with something. Maybe something sort of did pick them up, some intelligent other, and simply the way they interpreted that thing to look was in this way, and it sort of provided... a la co-creation from Greg Bishop, they sort of provided the reality for which this thing to kind of manifest itself. So, yeah, you know, it really could be anything. Just to quickly go back to Roswell, I'm going to ask you guys a question. You know, what would Roswell be if when that envelope showed up in Stanton Friedman's mailbox, you know, if he just was like, nah, and he just kind of was like, it's probably nothing, and he threw it away. You know, and he never talked about it. You know, what would Roswell be today if that never happened?
We're going to find out in our next segment. with Gene and Kurt and MJ. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $10,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-912-6177. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. 800-912-6177. That's 800-912-6177. Again, 800-912-6177.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning, texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want 20/20 vision and you're driving, pull over when you can. Because a life-changing offer is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the word CLEAR88 to 350-350 to get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Don't miss out. When you text CLEAR88 to 350-350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just one text away. Text CLEAR88 to 350-350. That's CLEAR88 to 350-350.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia Berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
MJ Benias, Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg. Notice I put my name last. But the interesting question asked in our previous segment on this episode of the Paracast, if Stanton Friedman hadn't jumped on Roswell, what would have happened? If Frank Scully didn't write this crazy book about Aztec, would they cover that? If Kenneth Arnold didn't report 9 disc-shaped objects while flying his private plane near Mount Rainier. Would there even be a UFO mystery?
This is a big question. Kurt, I'm asking you.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, Gene's expanded the question, so now it's a real head-scratcher. I think, you know, to answer the original question, if not for Stanton Friedman calling attention to it, no, I don't think that anyone would have dragged it up. You know, I mentioned those other headlines that were false alarms, and I think it would probably remain in that category. It was mentioned in a couple of books as a mistake, so it would stand there. But so then we have to ask, what would rise to take its place? So, you know, would another case, you know, something newer? I mean, and Roswell stands alone in a case that was retroactively important. Most everything else was recognized and had contemporary news coverage. You know, the Socorro case was reported. It was in the news the evening that it happened. I mean, a lot of these things received immediate attention and immediate investigation, you know, whether it was competent or not. So it could be there would be something like that. But no, I think Roswell would have been left in the dust.
I think the interesting thing then, you know, when we think about how mainstream culture perceives the UFO question and what the mainstream sort of culture knows about the UFO sort of world, if you go to sort of any person on the street and you say the word Roswell, they've heard of it, right? And they've heard of it because the UFO crash, right? They'll sort of, or at least they'll say like, wait, isn't that like aliens or something? Like they'll kind of have that moment, you know, they'll generally know kind of a little bit of what you're talking about. And it's interesting that the entire UFO community sort of relies on this mainstream knowledge, that little bit of mainstream knowledge about UFOs, just, you know, to kind of keep us legitimate. And it's funny that it all chalks up to a Canadian who got an envelope and he decided to pursue it, right? It's interesting that, you know, like you said before, Gene, you know, Roswell is a sort of linchpin case for the UFO community. It's interesting that it literally was one man and it was sort of a Canadian guy who provided sort of the best American UFO case in history and sort of made it to what it is today and has created this giant sort of ideological bubble that has influenced so much within the UFO community and within UFO culture and within even popular culture. You know, does he get credit for any of that? I'm just wondering, you know, does he go home at night and pat himself on the back?
Gene, I have a question about, and this, you know, I don't want to talk about Roswell, but I do want to talk about it, its influence and timing, because as I understand it, I was around then, but I wasn't paying much attention to the UFO scene. So what I want to know is, the way I hear it, is that with the ideas floating around from the Hynek's line of thinking, and Jean Vallée and John Keel, and there was a lot of psychic thought, and so they were moving away from the nuts and bolts. You know, that had been explored and was getting nowhere, and so these new ideas were coming in. And the way I hear it is that the Roswell came in to sort of rally this idea, and, you know, it was kind of like the Keyhoe thing, except, you know, here there was supposed to be little bodies and all these things that went way further. So what do you think about the way that changed, and did it hurt the questions that were being asked?
Well, I understand here there was a UFO field before Roswell, obviously, because it didn't happen until the late 70s that this was rediscovered. It disappeared for 30 years until the book that bore the name of Charles Berlitz and William Moore and Stanton Friedman, even though he did a lot of the work, was kind of an afterthought. He got a credit. Hope he got some of the royalties. Before that, there was a UFO field. There was J. Allen Hynek. There was Socorro, New Mexico. There were a lot of other cases that people were looking at. And I didn't even consider Roswell until the early 80s. For one of a thousand reasons, because it took time for the book to get out, for other people to pick up on the Roswell incident, and then, of course, for the TV movie that came. Before that, Roswell was not a serious factor, and we didn't consider it to be a serious factor. As I said, there were a lot of other cases we talk about. We talk about Washington, D.C., 1952. We bring up Arnold because it was the progenitor of a UFO case. We bring up Socorro, New Mexico. We bring up sightings that APRO received from South America. So to me, Roswell was never important. And even when it was important, I had my concerns about MJ-12 and all this other baggage that accompanied the case. So if you want to say, would the UFO field still exist if Roswell was taken off the menu? Sure, because it did, because a lot of other things were happening. It's possibly a sidestep. Now, I think if we want to be conspiratorial, and I'll just do that for the heck of it, if somebody wanted to really mess up this field, they push the hell out of Roswell because it's a blind alley.
Agreed. But the other part of that was, didn't it limit the type of investigation? I mean, instead of looking for these bigger ideas, we were looking for a locked hangar with a hidden Roswell craft.
Well, you see, that's another part, too. Back in the 60s, in 65, Alan Greenfield and I were talking about alternate realities, multiverse, other possible theories. But that had been going on for a long time. You'd see connections with 4D and other possible phenomena in connection with UFOs. When Roswell really took control of the public's consciousness, it was already getting into the 90s. But even before that, I think there was a swing back to the ETH, mostly because any coverage about UFOs that were received would be, obviously, gotta be spaceships. Look at the sighting flap in the early 1970s. I saw that head on, not the sightings, but the reports, because I was working at a radio station in the suburbs of Philadelphia in the early 70s. And when sightings were reported in Pennsylvania, I go out to cover them. I had a magazine on the subject. So, you know, we were keeping it up there, and we had this speculation, but I kind of agree that it sort of faded out as Roswell began to take over. But a lot of us never changed in our viewpoints. It's just that Roswell became such a 900-pound gorilla, fewer people paid attention to things that were always going on. So there, I got to do our break, and then we'll go on with this kind of speculation.
All right, I have to cough really bad, so I'm going
to... Okay, so hold the cough, and let's... We got 15 seconds. We'll hold the cough for 15 seconds if you can. We're like that. We got more to come. Of course, we're talking to MJ Banias, who refers to UFOs in more of a philosophical way. Kirk Collins, he was one of the Roswell Slide Study Group, and he covers that, of course, in the book UFOs Reframing the Debate with Gene and Kurt and MJ. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in. Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Hi, this is Ron Paul, former congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I love these summer months because this is when I get to enjoy the fresh fruits and vegetables that are being harvested on small farms and in our backyards. We all look forward to garden tomatoes and corn on the cob. Don't you wish there was a better way to preserve their true tastes and flavors? I'm here to tell you that there is a better way. It's by using the amazing home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. I have a Harvest Right freeze dryer and use it to preserve the foods I love. Strawberries, apples, and even lasagna and ice cream can stay fresh for 25 years. And the best part of my freeze drying is my family and I have a supply of long-lasting food on hand. So no matter what may come, we feel better prepared. We love our freeze dryer. To learn more, go to HarvestRight.com or call 800-923-9591. That's HarvestRight.com or 800-923-9591.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are exploring cultural, philosophical aspects of the UFO mystery. Did Roswell kind of impede the search for the truth? MJ Benias, Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg. Kurt, you have more?
This is sort of a follow-on to what Jeremiah's question from earlier, and this deals with, we'll spin off from Roswell, but it deals with the lack of physical evidence. So often when heated debates erupt over persons or cases, there seems to be a logical fallacy in play. Why do you think this is prevalent, and how can it be overcome in a field so lacking in physical evidence?
Maybe the logical fallacy is sort of the UFO phenomenon. In the case of physical evidence, you know, I agree, this is sort of a significant problem. I think the UFO community has sort of started to engage itself more with non-extraterrestrial hypothesis sort of discussions because of this lack of physical evidence, right? It's easier to go to the more metaphysical experiences, the more mystical experiences. It's a lot easier to discuss, you know, universal consciousness or interdimensional beings, because ultimately you then don't need to justify the lack of physical evidence. You can simply say there is no physical evidence because, you know, they don't have any physical presence. They don't sort of exist within a physical realm you and I understand. And we see this sort of shift. It's been around for a while, like, don't get me wrong, but we definitely see sort of this movement towards that aspect of the UFO sort of debate. You know, in regards to, you know, when you get into a heated discussion and people sort of ask you, you know, are UFOs real or aliens or whatever, there is it is a legitimate argument to say, well, you know, where's your evidence or where's your physical evidence? But this is a very, very sort of spooky phenomenon, and it doesn't make sense. It's very nonsensical sort of all the time. So again, if we're dealing with sort of an intelligence that isn't necessarily physical like you and I are physical, you know, there might not necessarily be physical evidence. But again, I'm sort of speculating here, and this is just, you know, I'm spitballing because, you know, ultimately I don't know. I don't have an answer. The debate's going to rage until either, you know, we find a body or they land on the White House lawn, right? Ultimately, like, it's going to have to be sort of some obvious show or manifestation that kind of ends this debate potentially.
Well, I want to return to something we touched on earlier, which was about the experience of the witness and respect for him. I was looking at old accounts of sea serpents, and there were cartoons and newspapers in the 1800s about people making fun of the witnesses as drunkards and things like that. So that some people seem to have the opinion that ridicule of UFO witnesses is something new, but they were ridiculing people for seeing fairies and leprechauns. So that's not really a new thing, but, you know, so how do we show and can we show UFO witnesses respect? Well, certainly, hopefully we can as investigators, but what about the public? How can attitudes on that change?
Wow. So I do touch on this in my essay. I'm not sure if it will change. I think that there's a lot at stake here, especially when it comes to, you know, the sort of the current power systems that sort of govern our society. I think if we start looking at UFO witnesses and saying, you know, we as a whole, as mainstream society, respect your opinion, or we respect the fact that you were taken by aliens. I think this would be a major sort of shift ideologically. We don't do this with other people, right? Like we're not necessarily very good at treating sort of people who aren't abducted by aliens with respect, never mind treating, you know, those who are. So we're kind of, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I honestly don't. I think UFO culture has to exist on the fringe, because if it becomes part of sort of the mainstream, it becomes kind of part of the general sciences, and it becomes sort of accepted as, you know, something that people are willing to talk about on a daily basis. And then I think sort of the UFO community or subculture sort of dies a death. You know, like, it's not the same thing anymore. It becomes something fundamentally different. I'm a firm believer in sort of going back to the witness. Like, personally, I think the witness is really the only thing we have when it comes to the UFO question. I think they're sort of the most important people within the UFO discourse, because ultimately they're the ones having the experiences. Because there is no physical evidence really ever that allows them, or sort of allows us rather, to have a clear image of what's going on. So I think the ridicule is misplaced. I think the UFO witnesses and sort of the contactees or the abductees or whatever are really the people we need to be talking to, because really they are our only kind of sight line to ever potentially finding an answer to the puzzle. But will it ever sort of be accepted by the mainstream, or will they ever be accepted by the mainstream? I don't know. That's going to be that's a tall order. That's for sure.
Well, one of the things that has bothered me is that I feel like a lot of times UFO investigators have been intrusive in the investigation and have influenced the witnesses. For example, we mentioned the Socorro case a few times, but Officer Lonnie Zamora saw this object, and because it looked mechanical and there seemed to be footprints, it was investigated as a machine. But if you listen to his testimony, he thought this was, he referred to the devil. You know, he thought this was a supernatural event. He was a religious man, and that comes into play in the Cash Lando case, too. Everybody's, you know, it's almost like, gearheads, car fans. All they can think about is the vehicle. It's not about what they – and some of these – what if – we might have gotten nowhere, but what if Jacques Vallée or John Kehoe had arrived on the scene first and investigated it? You know, would we be talking about this as more of a supernatural event rather than a spaceship or a secret project from White Sands?
Right. And you know, this is again, you know, we're kind of, you know, I feel like we're circling kind of around the same thing here, and we've sort of been circling around it for a while. It ultimately comes down to sort of the ideological baggage you bring into your experience, right? You know, what you carry in with you creates sort of the reality of the situation. You know, you're not necessarily, you know, shaping reality. I'm not making claims like that, but really your interpretation kind of makes it real in a sense. So yeah, if you had someone who interprets this situation, an investigator who interprets it in a more spiritual or metaphysical way, of course, you know, it's going to change the event itself, the story of the event itself is going to change. And this is a problem. This is sort of, I think, where at times sort of MUFON fails, and MUFON field investigators at times fail. They approach the subject with a preloaded set of, this is what I think's going on. And when that comes to the table, it's going to influence the witness. It's going to influence the case. It's going to influence the sighting itself and how that sighting is recorded and talked about. So, yeah, I think that is what happens. I agree with you sort of wholeheartedly in this.
I can give you an example of a really, and this wasn't a trained investigator. This is from the case of the Roswell slides.
We have 20 seconds. Just kind of preview it, and then we'll go into the final segment.
I have an example from the Roswell slides about a bad investigator, but we'll save that for after the break.
We've got Kurt Collins as our guest co-host, Chris O'Brien, who's on his way to the Utah Fest. We're going to have to find out what that's about. MJ Benias joining us for the first time. It won't be the last. A lot more to come. I'm Gene Steinberg, and you're not. No, that's not the way to do it. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight.
How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Nobody remembers what that means. I'm Gene Steinberg and you're not, whatever.
I was there.
You were there. I don't know where I was, but if I ever get there, it'll continue. Kurt, you had something to begin with here.
We were talking about the investigator intruding on the investigation or the witness's perception. And I had an example from the Roswell Sides fiasco. So the Sides promoter, Adam Dew, went to supposedly the last living Roswell witness. And so he opens his laptop and basically says, "Hey, does this look like the alien you saw?" Well, you know, that's like a botched, what do they call that? The subject to photos, you know, that a police would show, you know, he would say, "Hey, is this the guy that robbed your bank?" You show a photo array and let them choose. And sometimes they do a trick and they don't even have the guy in there, you know, as a test. It's so that the person is actually looking and considering. But this was such a botched method. And the guy says, yeah, that's pretty close. So you know, that's terrible. So it's very easy, especially for a authority figure to come in and to sort of shape the witness's testimony and have you saw a bright silver saucer, right? And they may get the witness to agree to them. And even some of the things that are passive, like we were talking about the MUFON investigation, when you submit a witness report, there's this long questionnaire. And as a test, I filled one out one time. I'd seen a shooting star. And I said, "Hey, this will be a good way to kind of test the system." And I started reading, and it said, you know, "Did you have any thoughts as this occurred? Or, you know, did you have any feelings and things?" You know, I didn't, but it made me kind of question myself. And it was a person asking me that in a suggestive way. I might have agreed and said, "Well, yeah, I did have this feeling of oneness," or, you know, and it wouldn't have been real.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of leading questions that can get you down that path. And that's a great example that you just mentioned, right? I think one of the questions concerns, did you have any physical discomfort or emotional sort of anxiety or whatever during the event? There's a sort of this question, by witnessing the light in the sky, did you have a physical or physiological reaction to it? And that's totally a leading question, right? Because people say, "Well, yeah, you know, next day I had a headache. So is that related?" I don't know.
I'd asked Chris Rutkowski about what he felt like was the best UFO reporting form, and he said he didn't think there was one. He said, "You need to give the witness the opportunity to tell their story. And, you know, once that's out, you can ask some further questions about it. But, you know, you're not trying to get them to work off a checklist. It's to reveal information, not shape it."
Exactly. And the problem is, you know, again, MUFON's, you know, alleged mission is to be scientific and it's to sort of collect data. So it has to sort of be done in an orderly fashion. Like, you know, you understand that, right? Like it has to be sort of in this checklist style system, because otherwise, you know, how do you input data then into a database? However, you know, ultimately, what does all that data do? Right. You know, do we consider all of that data evidence, especially since, you know, the way it's collected and investigated is sometimes sloppy and, you know, we can't really sit there and say, yeah, no, this is, you know, hard and fast proof that, you know, UFOs are flying by and it's intelligent and whatever, you know, doing it the other way. Allows for, you know, significantly more, you know, sort of honest witness testimony that isn't led by anyone. They're sort of just telling you what happened, I guess. Or, and you know, potentially that could include how they felt. But ultimately, you know, the MUFON way doesn't necessarily sort of make more sense or, you know, really, unless somebody has physical evidence, right? Unless somebody has something that's testable that we can recreate over and over and over again, or we can scrutinize in laboratory conditions or whatever, you know, what are we going to have? We're going to have a story. Whether that story exists in a checklist with sort of data sets and data points, or whether that story exists just long form, this is my experience, you're collecting the same thing. You're just organizing it differently, I suppose. The MUFON way maybe does lead the witness a little bit, because there's questions on the checklist that sort of need to be asked. But again, you had this strange experience, you had a headache the next day, you know, maybe it's connected, and then, you know, in your own mind, yeah, I guess it is connected. The UFO gave me a headache. Whereas, then, you know, like I said, you might be a little more honest in the long form style, as Chris says, right, just sort of just tell me what happened. But it hinges upon, you know, it all hinges upon the evidence. And if you don't have it, you have a great story that, you know, may have happened for all we know. But it's just a story, and we can't sit here and make truth claims about a story, unfortunately.
So you've read the other chapters in the book, UFOs Reframing the Debate. You've been inspired by the ideas. There's some criticism of the way investigations are done, but there's some constructive ideas on how to move things forward. Do you think the future is in ideas, or if you had unlimited budget, would you have a particular method of investigating?
Oh, man. This is going to, like, I think this might reveal a little bit, like, what I think. So, I don't know. As a philosopher, I have to be careful here how I say this. I don't, whatever this phenomenon is, all right, whatever it is, and I'm not going to say that it's ET from another planet, and I'm not going to say that it's, you know, some mystical intelligence or something. Whatever it is, it's strange. And it's spooky, and 100% of the time, it doesn't follow the rules. So I'm not sure if I had an unlimited budget and I sank it into an investigative organization, I don't think that investigative organization will ever have an answer. Only because with UFOs in general, every time we get sort of close, they get even further away. You know what I mean? They have to be unknown for them to exist. If you catch my drift, I think ideologically they have to be unknown. I think sort of as a belief, as something that we sort of believe in, they have to be unknown. Because if it's a known flying object, it's boring. I don't think there will ever sort of be an answer to the UFO question. I think that is sort of the only truth claim I can make at this point in regards to the UFO question. I don't think we'll ever find out what's actually going on. I think it's going to be a consistent puzzle that just keeps getting bigger and more pieces keep getting added with every sort of moment that goes by. So, Kurt, I'm going to have to answer your question with, like, this cryptic, we'll never have an answer, I think, answer. Yeah.
Kurt Collins, you've got a blog out there. Tell our listeners that want to find more of the things you do, where do they check you out?
My blog is called blueblurrylines.com.
Okay, what kind of stuff do you have over there?
Oh, well, I've got lots of articles investigating the Cash Landrum UFO case. That's a special point of interest to me. I've also got a number of things, you know, on the Roswell slide investigation, and just, you know, any other commentary that strikes my interest. A lot of historical UFO details as well. And I'd like to point out that the JimMosley.com site, remembering UFO mythmaker, pioneer, James W. Mosley, is worth a look. There's lots of photographs and articles there, too.
That's JimMosley.com. MJ, where can we find more of your stuff?
So I do write for Mysterious Universe, which is sort of a paranormal news site. However, my true passion is on my own blog, and that's at www.terraobscura.net, and that's sort of where you can find my philosophical ramblings and rantings concerning the UFO question.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for a pair of Paracast fan clubs over at Facebook. And, of course, we want to remind you about the Paracast Plus. It's our premium package where we offer the After the Paracast podcast. And, by the way, Kurt Collins will be rejoining us on After the Paracast this week. Last week we had Red Pill Junkie. A few weeks back we had Monty Shriver, who lived in Aztec, New Mexico, when a flying saucer allegedly crashed there and he said didn't happen. You can get After the Paracast by joining up the Paracast Plus. You also get the commercial-free version of this show, free of all the network ads. 41 minutes of those ads are taken out. Better quality audio. To find more, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. The subscription rates start at just $1.49 a week. We give you all the sign-up instructions at plus.theparacast.com. Kurt Collins, MJ Benias, thank you both for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. It was a pleasure.
It's been an honor. I've had a great time. Thank you very much.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.